Hello and welcome to another playoff edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Nick. How you doing? Glad to be on another edition of the pod. Just ready to talk some playoff hoops. How you been, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's nice to have you on. Quick shout out to Corey in Harris's absence. Him and Jonathan have been great filling in. It's obviously great to have a staff that has guys that can podcast and write. So quick shout out to Corey. Let's talk some playoff hoops. Rockets and Spurs last night, big game, definitely fun, a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of interesting storylines. Manu with a big block, Harden with the turnovers. Initial thoughts about that game last night?
Initial thoughts. First thing that pops up to me is the fact that the Rockets only played seven players. They played with some really small lineups. You can tell that they desperately miss Nene. Seeing Ryan Anderson play center and James Harden play the power forward with Patrick Beverley and Lou Will on the floor as well at the same time. It's really weird seeing that kind of a small lineup, but that's kind of how this generation of basketball is now becoming. On the flip side, you know, Kawhi went down with an ankle injury late in the game. Manu Ginobili turned the clock back about 5 years and was phenomenal in the fourth quarter and overtime. Danny Green was phenomenal. The Spurs really just used their experience to win that game at home over a worn out and tired Houston team.
Yeah, I thought you made a great point when you pointed out the Nene absence is, you know, they have to play Ryan Anderson as a backup now. And you mentioned they only played seven guys. And I think fatigue definitely hurt them late in that game. Obviously, they didn't really do much on offense to stand around and watch Harden. And I think Harden was also fatigued. You know, you mentioned it having to guard Gasol, Aldridge down in the paint. He's not the same size as these guys. He's given up a lot of weight and a lot of height. So he's fighting hard down there. He's obviously playing a lot of minutes too. And I think that impacted him late in that overtime.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like almost on every drive, he just looked sluggish. It just, you could just tell. And even that last shot, it was one of those shots where your superstar has to take the shot. But ideally, after he's already played 43 minutes, like you said, he was battling with Aldridge and Gasol all game. You know, there wasn't any legs underneath that shot. He barely got off the ground. It was an easy block for Ginobili.
Yeah, exactly. If you actually watch the block, like Ginobili's like blocking from on top of the ball. And obviously we know Harden's a better athlete, especially at this point in Mono's career. So I ask you, like, do you think some of this, that loss falls on D'Antoni, obviously only playing seven guys, not having someone kind of relieve Harden a little bit more and kind of game planning a little bit better? And we mentioned Kawhi got injured. He didn't play overtime. So the Spurs' best player, clearly their best player, you know, you could even argue he's kind of like the same level of impact as Harden for the Rockets, missed the overtime, and you still lose.
Yeah. It's Houston. Houston should be a little bit worried. Like, I'm not worried, but I don't know why D'Antoni isn't playing guys like Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell.
And Decker played a little in game four.
Yeah, and I mean, and for the most part this season, both those guys were big contributors because Nene wasn't playing a ton of minutes during the regular season.
Yeah, so no,
maybe,
I agree.
Maybe you don't use them because it's playoffs. And I know Decker was hurt to end the season, so maybe you don't want to – you're not confident that he's fully healthy or maybe he's just not in game speed. But the more you don't play him, the less likely it is that we see him.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the holes in their roster too. You know, not having another option, another big to put in there. Because even Montrezl Harrell and Ryan Anderson, you know, they're not big guys. Like, they're not going to match up great with Aldridge and Gasol. So, like, this is an issue for the Rockets, and they have to kind of game plan the way to, you know, deal with this in a different way.
I agree, especially when you have got – like, the one thing San Antonio has is they have size. Between Deadman, who didn't play a lot last night, Gasol and Aldridge, and even David Lee to that point, they have big bodies down low.
And they're skilled guys, too.
Big men against Clint Capella for the most part. So there's four – you have three to four possible power forward centers against one center. It's, you know, what I mean, honestly, the worst scenario for Houston would be if Capella gets into foul trouble in game six.
Yeah, and Capella has played great, too. It's just, like you said, it's a problem. There's only one Capella, and there's four other guys on the Spurs. And that was kind of apparent yesterday. The Spurs won the rebounding battle 65-58. The Spurs also won points in the paint 56-42. So getting those easy baskets definitely helps. We know the Rockets are going to shoot more threes. But, you know, in overtime, you could tell working the ball down low was a lot easier than having to, you know, shoot all those threes.
Yeah, and a shout-out to Patty Mills, too. you know, I was really concerned when Tony Parker went down, especially because Tony Parker seemed, at least this year, when he was playing at the Tony Parker that we saw during the championship years for the Spurs were really dangerous. That game yeah. against Memphis, he was phenomenal. Before he got hurt, he was playing phenomenal. And Patty Mills, he was extremely good last night. He was hitting it from deep. He was facilitating. He was aggressive.
He was aggressive on D too. You know, he was really getting into it.
I mean, honestly, last night's win for the Spurs, it wasn't about Kawhi. It wasn't about Aldridge. It wasn't about Gasol. It was about those role players, Green, Simmons, Mills. All those guys played crucial minutes last night.
Yeah, honestly, that was the next point I was going to touch on is, you know, you mentioned Patty Mills, but Danny Green hit a ton of big shots. He hit big threes in overtime. Jonathan Simmons was great. He forced those two late turnovers on Harden. So, you know, that's definitely been some added juice for them. And another point you touched on earlier was the inexperience of the Rockets compared to the Spurs championship pedigree. And, you know, the Rockets had 16 turnovers while the Spurs only had 8. And that's a big difference in a playoff game, especially when you're, you know, down to the wire in OT.
It's a huge difference. And, I mean, Patty Mills and Jonathan Simmons, I tweeted this a couple times last night. Both those guys are going to get big contracts this offseason because so many teams can use a guy who can play defense, can use a guy who can shoot. And those guys have been phenomenal for Pop.
Yeah, there definitely has been some rumor mill about that. There's been talk about Patty Mills possibly getting a chance to start somewhere in the league. And then Simmons, I know like he was going to make money going to the offseason, but that number just went up a lot with the play he's had, especially in the moment and against big-time players like James Harden.
Even though he did shoot very poorly that second half.
Yeah, he's not, shot, you know, he's not a fine.
It is what
you know,
it is.
Yeah, he's not a, like, skill fine-tuned offensive player quite yet, but he does have the athleticism, and he's going to bring that energy and that defense. So how do you feel about the series going forward? Do you think, you know, the Spurs are going to steal this or the Rockets are going to come back and take the series?
I still have faith in the Rockets. Only because, and I'm not gonna overhype the Kawhi injury, but I still believe Houston has the advantage. You know, you still don't have Tony Parker, and you still have to rely on guys like Danny Green, Patty Mills, Ginobili, and Simmons to give you the performances they did last night. And not that it's impossible, I'm not sure if they can keep up that high level of basketball. And if Kawhi is, you know, a little bit hobbled, I mean, D'Antoni has to go deeper on his bench for sure. The Rockets.
Yeah. No, I think upon having to go deeper on the bench, he just needs to have somebody else create the offense a little bit more and, you know, let Harden rest. Because sometimes, you know, he's going down the floor, he's running the offense by himself, he's creating everything, and he's setting everybody up in place. You know, it's obviously going to get tiring. And I think the point you pretty much are making is, you know, who would you rather bet your money on, the Rockets role guys or the Spurs role guys? And the Rockets role guys have been better all year long, and especially if you have a banged-up Kawhi, not saying he's going to be, like, super injured, but he's not going to be 100%. So I feel pretty good about the Rockets. I'd probably go about 50-50 in Game 7. So I'll stick with my pick, Rockets in 7, but I'm a little nervous.
One thing I want to point out, too, is Eric Gordon and Lou Williams, they went 1-for-11 last night shooting threes.
Yeah, and
that two big-time six men of the year are candidates. The odds of them both going shooting that poorly from deep is unlikely again.
Yeah, either of them really have had a great series, so hopefully in Game 6, Game 7, they can really turn it on, and that would kind of give an added element to the Rockets and ease some of the pressure off James Harden. But on to another series, you know, the only other series going on right now, the Wizards and Celtics. This one's been fun. Plenty of bad blood. The Wizards bounced back, tied this up 2-2. John Wall's been a monster. IT was a little bit quiet in Game 4. What do you expect tonight?
I mean, I wanna roll with Boston being at home, but I picked Washington to win this series in 6, and I think this is the road game that Washington takes. Because, you know, the playoffs really don't start until you win on the road, and I think this is going to be the first time we see a team win on the road in this series. I'm rolling with John Wall. I'm rolling with Beal. I just don't trust the supporting cast of the Celtics besides Isaiah Thomas. You know, Al Horford's solid, but Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley. I mean, it makes me wonder why Danny Ainge wanted to hold on to Crowder so badly and Bradley when these guys produce offense for themselves.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. You mentioned, the supporting cast stepping up. Last game in game four, Bradley only had 5 points, Horford 11. IT didn't even have 20. So I think they need that Isaiah Thomas, Horford, Bradley combo to at least get 50 points, and I don't think that's a lot to ask. And that's kind of the number they need to get around. And you've made a great point. I think this kind of postseason has been a little bit sour for Boston fans, knowing that they could have had Paul George or Jimmy Butler right now and possibly have a chance to beat the Cavs in the next round. But instead, it looks like Washington's going to bounce them out because I feel pretty confident about Washington myself. I think they're a hot and cold type team, and they're going to carry these two wins into Boston and get the W tonight.
Yeah, and I like you just say you said how much Crowder had, and Avery Bradley. Another little set: Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart combined for 6 on 25 shots. Those three guys can't shoot that poorly. You just
Yeah,
can't afford it in the playoffs,
exactly. You can't.
And I get it was on the road. Obviously, Boston is a much better team at home than they are on the road. But it's like you said, if they had added a guy like Paul George or a guy like Jimmy Butler, this entire series is different, and this playoff run may look better. Boston fans were deceived when they captured the one seed. The one seed doesn't really mean anything if you don't have a one seed type team. And realistically, the Celtics are not a one seeded team. They're just
No,
not.
yeah, and that's a great point. I agree. They're not your typical one seed. There's been a lot of talk this year about them being one of the worst one seeds we've seen in recent time. And another thing the Wizards have done great in this series after, IT kind of went off in the first two games was they've limited him. They've made it really tough for him, and they've kind of roughed him up. And that doesn't mean, they've been dirty, but they've made sure he's had to earn every basket. And on defense, they've been going at him too. So I think that's something they need to keep doing, fatigue him. He's a smaller guy. Banging with guys that are a foot taller and 100 pounds more than you is going to take a toll.
Yeah. And like you said, they roughed him up, and even still last game, I think he shot 50% and he only missed one three. But in the plus and minus, he was minus 30. And Al Horford was minus 36. When those are your one and two options, they're playing at such a deficit.
And
It just doesn't bode well.
one of our writers, Adam, made a great point about what Washington did to Isaiah Thomas, and it was kind of forced him into a passer. He can't necessarily see over defenders the same way a 6'3", a 6'4" type guard would. So he kind of struggles a little bit in that area, especially with the shorter arms too. So keep an eye on that Isaiah Thomas matchup with the Wizards and how the defense really focus on him and make someone else beat them.
And one more point, Jay Crowder has been known, and Avery Bradley, both those guys are known as being defensive specialists. I need to see some defensive specialists. Like, I need to see something that shows me that these guys are elite. Because last game, Otto Porter and Bradley Beal both toasted Crowder and Bradley all game. I think Porter missed one or two shots all game, and Bradley Beal had 29 points. You gotta limit guys like that, especially the Wizards. Be playing their best basketball, it's when Otto Porter's involved in the offense.
Yeah,
When
no, he
Porter is
definitely is.
scoring, yeah, when he is scoring, an entirely different animal to play against.
Yeah, and he's a very good player too. This year he was one of the top five guys in 3-point shooting. And like you said, he kind of gives them that third cog that they need because he really does have potential. He's another guy who's going to get paid big bucks this year. And another reason that Washington's having so much success in the series, I think, is the inside battle. Kind of like the Spurs, they're winning the rebounding battle. They won 54 to 39 in game four, and they're also winning points in the paint, 56 to 38. So that lack of inside presence for the Celtics is really hurting them, and that's something they're going to need to address this offseason.
Yeah, they should have, guys. I know that the past is the past, but I still don't understand why they didn't trade for like a guy like Nerlens Noel, who was pretty much given away to the Dallas. Because just having a big guy like that, then you can take Amir Johnson off the court, who was pretty much useless. But
It's they definitely probably it's I would just like to have know the game plan of Boston's front office, what they're thinking, and maybe they're looking really, really long term and they're looking to really build that long term dynasty, and that's why they haven't made the moves, but we'll see what happens this offseason in the next few years.
I don't know if you heard too, Nick. They're bringing in Markelle Fultz for an interview tonight, actually. He's going to the Boston
Interesting.
facilities. Yeah.
So they do have the Nets pick. They're going to get a great prospect this year. They have plenty of assets. They could even maybe trade back up into that draft if they wanted to and get another high pick. So the Celtics are in a great position, even if they do get knocked out this series. Obviously, there's still plenty of time for them to come back. Who do you like in the series?
Well, as long as Washington doesn't score 26 straight, again, I think Boston has a chance. to at least win tonight. But I'm rolling with Washington in six.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my prediction as well. I'm gonna go with the Wizards in seven. Just, I mean, I could see it ending in six. I could see it ending in seven. I just think Washington is the more talented team. And usually in the playoffs, the more talented team tends to win because after seven games, there's not really many adjustments you can make. You kind of know what the other team's trying to do. They know what you're trying to do. It's about who's playing harder and who's gonna make the tough shots. And right now, the Wizards have been able to kind of somewhat contain IT. The Celtics have had no chance at containing John Wall.
No, he's pretty much made it clear to all the doubters that he may be the best point guard in the East. I
Do you
always
think John
considered
Wall is the second best player in the East?
second best player. No, man, that's tough. Cause all right, he may be second best currently, but I think within a year, Giannis will be the second best player in the East. If that's a fair statement, because I think Giannis has the potential to be that. He's just not there
Yeah,
yet.
I would agree with that. I think Giannis has some work to do a little better understanding of the game. Kind of what John Wall went through earlier on in his career. I would have John Wall as the second best player in the East. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't, but offensively, what he does and what he is able to create out of nothing, and he can turn, like I've said a million times on this podcast, he can turn a made shot into an easy basket. And you just have to deal, his impact on the game is so great. And defensively, it's not like he's a slouch. We've seen him in this series change shots, get those blocks on threes. I just think his all-around impact on the basketball game with his speed is just so great.
And I want to bring up one more point from an article I read off OTG. I think it was 2 days ago from Kyle. I'm not going to even try and pronounce his last name because I'm going to butcher it. Zawoski. I'm going to try anyway. Zawoski or, but
Yeah, something along those lines.
yeah, he made a point how the Wizards have had three big runs. I think it was 26 to nothing and 22 to nothing and maybe like 15 to nothing, or it might have been 16 to nothing. But they've had these huge runs in this series where Boston hasn't even been able to put 1 point on the board. And when you're playing with that much speed that Washington plays with, they just run teams off the floor, it seems.
Yeah, they have the athletic
Could be
ability.
the biggest issue for Boston. It's just slowing down the tempo tonight.
Yeah, they have, like I said, they're kind of that hot and cold type team where they can really carry that momentum and push you to another level. They also have plenty of athleticism to get out and run. But that was a great article too, and it just kind of points to the Celtics is like you mentioned it before. They other than Isaiah Thomas, somebody to create their own shot. A lot of teams have guys in this league where you could at least throw the ball on three possessions, he's going to score at least one time, and to not be able to score when the other team puts up 26 straight points. Just puts you in such a tough hole from a mental standpoint and then from a scoreboard standpoint.
And another thing, when Boston is supposed to be this team that relies on their defense, I mean, it makes you also question, where's the defense?
Yeah, they let up 120 points last game, so not much defense there. This is going to be a big game. Obviously, every game five is big when the series is tied, but we're going to have a better idea of what's going to happen the rest of the series after tonight because Boston really needs to come out and get with energy and get this win.
And I want to make one more take too. If the Wizards can finish off the Celtics in six, I kind of believe that they will be able to win at least one game over Cleveland. If Bo no matter what for Boston, I think Boston gets swept next round if it's Boston versus Cleveland compared to Wizards Cleveland.
Yeah, no, I would. If I was the Cavs, I would definitely rather see the Celtics. The Wizards' athleticism and John Wall himself just, pose a problem for the Cavs. And it's not something you really want to do when you're going to fade Golden State next round, especially if you have to run around for six games. I don't think they'd be able to beat the Cavs in a seven-game series, but they'll definitely make it more interesting than the Celtics would.
I agree.
Talking about that brings my next point. Obviously, the Cavs swept Toronto, the Warriors swept Utah. Do we think that these teams are likely to lose before the finals, or are they just going to keep winning and then when they face each other, we're going to see a great finals matchup, or what do you expect?
Oh man, I have underestimated the Warriors last round. I kind of thought the Jazz were going to be a better matchup because of the size of Gobert and the defensive prowess they have. Golden State's on another level. I think maybe if they play San Antonio or the Rockets, it won't be a sweep. I can't see Kawhi or Harden being on the wrong side of a sweep. I have a hard time envisioning that. So I think the Warriors definitely lose one, and I think we just said with Cleveland. It depends on if the Cavs face the Celtics or the Wizards. It's all about matchups at this point.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are regardless going to have the tougher Western Conference. the conference finals matchup, just because, you know, obviously they'll either face the Rockets, who can get really hot two games and win two, or the Spurs, where you have to deal with Kawhi and Greg Popovich. So I'll go with you. I think that it's more likely the Warriors will lose a game. I still think the Warriors are going to win the finals. I just think their matchup in the next round is going to be tougher.
Yeah, I'm still rolling with the Cavs in the grand scheme of things, but the Warriors definitely, I think, compared to last year, there's no way they're not the favorites. You can't add a guy like Kevin Durant and, you know, and lose Festus Ezeli and Bogut and Spieth and not be considered favorites, because you still got Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, they're in fine shape right now. And I think one of the games in the Utah series where Curry and Klay were both kind of cold, and then Kevin Durant just went off.
For the 30-point game?
Yeah, that's the problem that you're going to face when you face the Warriors, is that, you know, they have three guys that can really go – that can go to human torch mode. You know, they could easily drop 40 or 50 on you. That's Curry, Klay, and KD. The chances that all three of them are cold on the same night are very unlikely. And as a defensive, you know, defensive scheme of things, what are you going to do to stop all three? There's not really many options if Draymond's hitting shots.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, I didn't pull up the game log, but I can't remember the last time Kevin Durant had a 38-point game. I can't remember the last time he was that aggressive offensively. And when it just, cause, you know, it makes you forget sometimes with this Warriors team, because, you know, some nights Klay only gets like 15 points and Durant only gets, you know, 21 or 22. But all three of those guys, and even Draymond to a point, they're all 20-plus point guys who can score 30 to 40 on ease on any given night.
Exactly. And it's just like, how do you really stop the Warriors? And in my opinion, I just don't see anybody beating them unless there's some type of injury. And that's with the Cavs playing, LeBron playing at another level. But they're just such a good team offensively and defensively that it's just so much to deal with.
And even though the Cavs have swept, you know, the Pacers and the Raptors, Kyrie and Love haven't had great series. I know Kyrie was better on the back end of the Raptors series, but he hasn't been spectacular yet in these playoffs. It's pretty much just been LeBron with, you know, what, 30 points in almost every game to this point, triple doubles. It's just been the role players and LeBron facilitating, getting everybody involved.
Yeah, I think if the things stay the same, and even if LeBron's playing at this level, they still won't be the Warriors. I think LeBron even needs to play at another level. And like you mentioned, Kyrie and Love need to play like, you know, all-star starters. They need to go out there and dominate for them to even have a chance against the Warriors with the amount of talent they're going to throw at you.
What are your thoughts on J.R. Well, I have one more question. What's your thoughts on J.R. Smith so far?
I mean, they need more out of J.R. They need him to have, you know, one of those games where he just gets, like, hot and he can kind of put up a quick 25 for you and kind of help you get that easy win. I mean, his energy's still there, but he does obviously make those boneheaded plays. But he has that potential to kind of, you know, cook randomly.
For me, he just hasn't looked the same since the injury he had earlier this season. He just hasn't.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same pop. I mean, it's also a little bit of age probably catching up to him too. You know, he's starting to get up there. He's over 30. So I think injuries, age, he just doesn't seem to have the same athleticism where he's not. Obviously, there's always been an issue with him driving more because he was such a good athlete and he just would always pull up. But I think we haven't seen the drives as much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it'll be fun to see the Cavs and Warriors, and that's what everybody expects. Maybe we'll get surprised and someone will pull an upset in the conference finals. But as of right now, that's what we're rolling with.
Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. I think, you know, unless an injury does happen, and I'm not like that, I want to curse anybody or jinx anything. It's not like it's the craziest thing to ever happen if someone were to get hurt and even miss a game or two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I prior to this series versus San Antonio and, you know, the Nene injury, I kind of had hopes for Houston. Only because of the offensive talent they have. I kind of just thought that, you know, in stretches where you don't have Curry or Durant on the floor and you have, like, Lou Will and Eric Gordon, that maybe those guys could generate enough offense versus the Rockets bench to really just the Rockets bench to outpower the Warriors bench, I was trying to say.
Yeah. No, I hope that. I never really believed I thought the Rockets could win, but I always thought they could make it a series. But this Nene injury has hurt them, and then, you know, Lou Williams and Eric Gordon kind of cooling down a little bit. They would need everybody to be super hot, hit on all cylinders, and just dominate from three. They need to hit, like, 20 threes a game.
Yeah, and seven-man rotations will not beat the Warriors.
Yeah, so, but that wraps up for today. As always, thanks you guys for listening. Thank you for hopping on, Corey, and enjoy some playoff basketball.